Today is October 1st, 2023. It's a beautiful sunny day. It's supposed to be, what, 74 today? Woohoo, we'll take it. It's supposed to hit 80 on Tuesday. October in Vermont. I always tell people, if you want to come up to see foliage, come to Vermont the first full week in October, and we will find peak foliage somewhere. We may have to go to one of the mountain ranges around, but we'll find it. So this is the time of year where our hills are covered with lovely colors, and our roads are covered with lovely colored license plates. People from all over. The message this morning is God provides. A lot of time when we think about that, now I'm definitely not what you would call a name it and claim it or a prosperity gospel preacher, but I can tell you that God provides for us. But what God provides is not always what we hope for. What God provides is not always what we think we need. But we know that the God who loves us so much as he sent his own son to redeem our lives from destruction, to save us, who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, said, I know the plans I have for you, thoughts to bring you a future and a hope. That God knows exactly what's coming, exactly what we need. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I certainly have. I mentioned there was 16 years that I didn't darken a church door. I was running from God for all those years. And when I came back to the Lord, things were wonderful. God was doing a great work in me. I was making changes and seeking the face of the Lord, and everything was going good. And then after a while, things kind of tapered off. And then pressure comes, and things start happening in my life, and all of a sudden, I'm having words hit the back of my throat that hadn't made it out anywhere near to my mind for years, and things like that. And I'm going, what in the world is going on? And I found out, with a little bit of studying, that our faith is refined like silver and gold. And if you've ever seen precious metals being refined, they start with the ore. So you have the metal is in there, but there's a lot of rock and there's a lot of impurities and there's a lot of stuff in there. And they crush it up and they get rid of most of the impurities. And then they put it in a pot and they start turning up the heat. And as the heat comes up, the metal melts and the impurities begin coming to the top. And the refiner will skim off the impurities and look at it. And if it's not quite done, there's going to be a little bit more heat and a little bit more pressure. Because the goal is the refiner to be able to see his reflection in the metal. As our faith is being refined like silver and gold, it's normal to face heat. It's normal to face pressure. It's normal to have things come up that we thought had been dealt with. But this is, God has called us to be ambassadors of heaven, has called us to make a difference in this world. We can't make a difference in this world if we don't allow God to first change me. If we don't allow God to first change us, how are we going to make an impact in the world around us? Matthew 6, beginning with verse 31. Now, Jesus has just talked about how, talking about worrying, he said, you know, don't worry about your food. Actually, we'll just read what I got here. You can go back and look at the context. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all of these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. God knows what things we need. Very, very key point. God knows what we need. God provides in some unique ways. I have lived in a cave for a time in my life. Not a long time in my life, but long enough to say, I've lived in a cave. You know, sometimes when God gives you shelter, it may not be the four seasons. But God provided. God provided food. God's taken care of me. I grew up in the Everglades. I am from the swamps. I know that turtle is delicious. Snake is pretty tasty. Eel, it's okay. But you can eat it. God has provided things that other people would turn up their nose at. And that same thing happens in our own lives. We get in circumstances that seem difficult, and some people will just sit back and judge. And it's like, what are you even doing there? But if it's where God wants you, if it's where God has you, we're there for a purpose. James 1, beginning with verse 2. James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Stop right there for just a minute. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Be happy when things are going wrong. Bible says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Understand, we are in the hands of a sovereign God who loves us, who has a plan and purpose for our life, who doesn't waste anything. And he tells us to rejoice no matter what's going on. I'll tell you right now, in my flesh, that is a difficult thing. It is not always pleasant. All of us go through difficult times. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Well, we're going to read Peter in a little bit. But, you know, we all face things. We all go through difficulties in life. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. He said these things are coming. But we are called to be thankful in the midst of it. In all things give thanks. Lord, help me. But you know what helps me? I've gone through some of those difficult things, and God has brought me through. I've gone through some of those things, not seeing an end, not seeing how in the world God was going to bring me through, and he brought me through. I don't have to know what the path is to know who's guiding my steps through the path, that I will come through for his glory and for his praise. I know that God hasn't forgotten about me. Maybe everyone else has. I know that God cares what's going on in my life, even though maybe so many others don't. But God does. And God's the only one we need anyway. He gives us people around us. He gives us brothers and sisters. He gives us friends. He gives us relationships to strengthen one another, to encourage one another, to come alongside one another. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to lift up the hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knees. We're supposed to make clear paths for those around us. We're supposed to be a blessing and come alongside. As members of the body of Christ, we're supposed to strengthen each other, that the whole body is strengthened by that which each joint supplies. We're important to each other. But God is the one who's bringing us together in the first place. Going back, verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I don't remember where the verse is, but tribulation works patience, patience experience hope, and hope makes us not ashamed. And I always get the picture of a set of gears. Tribulation works patience. Patience works experience, and go through how it seems like there's a whole bunch of turmoil before we ever get to the end of not being ashamed. But that's letting patience have its perfect work in us, that God is working in our circumstances even when we don't even know what's going on. Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, talked about this a minute ago in prayer, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. We ask the Lord for wisdom, and he gives it to us. And he doesn't give us a hard time for asking. But kind of like that patience, working experience, experiencing hope, and hope making not ashamed. Sometimes it takes a while for that wisdom to actually percolate up through us. Because we see, we get the wisdom from God, but it's being blocked by the wisdom from the earth. It's being blocked by my own understanding. I need to trust that God knows what he's doing. But let him ask in faith, not doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man and unstable in all of his ways. And I don't know about you, but I've looked at that verse and I've been convicted by that verse. I asked the Lord for wisdom, but Lord, that doesn't make sense. And I argue back and forth with the Lord. Praise God, he's merciful. Praise God, he loves us. Praise God, he's able to get through to us, even when we're sitting there arguing with him. You know, 5 years ago, I was retiring from my day job. And Debbie and I were praying, Lord, are you going to send someone to take over the church and free us up? We had all these plans what we were going to do. You know, we got a, officially it's 29, linked bumper to hitch is a 35-foot fifth wheel. We've got a 400-square-foot one-bedroom apartment we can take with us wherever we go. And I wanted to go to where disasters were and try to help build things. I had that in my mind. I had my plans on what I was going to do. But as we're praying, in a two-week period, 15 people come up and say how wonderful it was we've been faithful right where God has placed us. Two or three people might be a coincidence. 15 people we've heard from heaven. God has us here. This was not my plan. People that knew me back in the day, people that knew me when I was running from God, are having a hard time believing that God would make me a preacher. You are a preacher? But you know what? If we relied on my understanding, if I relied on my abilities, if I relied on my thoughts on it, then I'd be in a mess. Because I was in a mess until I gave up and finally said, Lord, if you can do anything with this life, it's yours. I was in a big mess. But God is faithful. And God has a plan and purpose. And when I trust God, I see that he provides what I need, not necessarily what I want. He provides for the path that he has, not necessarily what my plans were. Still in James chapter 1, drop down to verse 18. Or down to verse 12, rather. It says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Says, temptation's coming. How are you going to deal with it? Adversity's coming. How are you going to deal with it? Do we deal with it by trusting God, or do we deal with it by making our own plans? If we trust God, then God is the one who provides the reward as well. He'll receive the crown of life which the Lord promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. It's all God's fault. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desires and enticed. Then when the desire is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Stop right there for just a minute. We're talking about God providing. Scripture says in another place that with every temptation, God provides a way of escape. We can decide to trust God. We can decide to be obedient. Or not. It's up to us. God is at work in our circumstances. He says, when you face the temptations, know that God has provided a way of escape. When you face difficulties, know that God is right there with you. We don't need to despair. We don't need to throw up our hands and give up. We don't need to quit. What we need to do is trust God. What we need to do is continue to seek His face. Lord, I'm crying out and it seems like the heavens are brass. My prayers aren't going anywhere. It's not about our perception. It's not about what we think or how we feel. It's about what the Word of God says. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and He will answer. He will answer. He has declared it. Call unto me, and I will give, and I will answer. He says, before you call, I will answer. But Lord, we haven't seen the answer. You go in the book of Daniel, you'll find where Daniel had been praying for 21 days when the angel showed up. And the angel said, I was on my way the very first day you prayed, but I was delayed by the demonic power over this place, by the prince of Persia, by the demonic power over that area. I was delayed until Michael the archangel came and helped me out. But the answer was sent the very first day. God is answering our prayers even when we don't see the manifestation of the answer yet. But we know that God is faithful. We know that God hasn't given up on any of us. Praise God. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, let now Israel say, when the enemy came like a flood, they would have swept us away. I should be dead. I should be crippled. I am neither. I'm old and fat and healthy as a horse. But God has taken care of me. Had a doctor tell me when I was 17, I'd been hit with a forklift. It chipped the bone in my leg and cut back through my calf muscle. And they said, you will never walk normally again. And in 1 month, I was walking around town carrying my crutches. Rules of workman's comp are you do exactly what the doctor says. The doctor said, you don't go anywhere without your crutches. He never once said, use them. I carried them over my shoulder, walking around town. At 17, I had just walked away from the church. I wasn't serving God. But God is merciful. Continuing on, verse 16 says, and 1 James 1 says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren, for every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be kind of first fruits of His creatures. I don't know about you, but for many times I'd read that verse. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. And I'm thinking, oh, we get good things from God. Yes, we do. But we don't always think the gifts we get from God are good at the time we get them. Because the things God is working in our lives, in our hearts, in our circumstances, is for eternal value. Had I not gone through some of the things that I've gone through in my life, I would not have the confidence that God is absolutely faithful no matter what the circumstances are. That He hasn't deserted me no matter what the circumstances are. That He loves me no matter what the circumstances are. I had to go through some things and get through them to get to the point where I can look back and say that. If I hadn't spent 72 days in a foreign jail, having been lied about and had no one to talk to and no one to turn to except God, I wouldn't have known that when God is all you have, God is all you need. More than that, God is all you need, whether God is all you have or not. God is the one who is in control of the circumstances, who loves us, who cares for us, who is at work in us. But sometimes those gifts don't look to be good gifts or perfect gifts. Because we're looking through the lens of right now. And even the lens of what we've gone through so far, we look through those lenses. Whereas God, who looks down and sees the end from the beginning and knows what we're going to need. If I hadn't gone through that, then I wouldn't have had to go, and I wouldn't have gone through getting the full revelation of forgiveness and how important it is. And having the testimony of God working forgiveness in my heart when it wasn't in my mind. But learning to forgive and being willing to be obedient to God's word, because God says, if you do not forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. If I hadn't had that, all of a sudden, a beam of light from heaven illustrating it as I opened my Bible that morning, and I began pouring out my heart, Lord, this is what your word says. I want to be obedient to your word. Lord, work it in me. I will to be obedient. Lord, I will to forgive. Work it in me. And continually, every time the situation came up, crying out to the Lord, Lord, I want to be obedient to your word. Lord, I want to do what you've called me to do. And then all of a sudden, one day, I realized that it happened. I was no longer bitter at that person. I was no longer angry. And very shortly after that, I was in a... I'd been visiting my grandparents. My parents had moved from... My dad and stepmom had moved from Hollywood, Florida, up to Valdosta, Georgia. Debbie and I spent one night in a house that my dad and stepmom were in. They were renting that house for 1 month, waiting to move into a house they bought. They're in the house for 1 month. We're in the house one night. That one night, that person called them trying to find out how to get a hold of me. But it didn't happen until I'd allowed God to work the forgiveness in my life. My wife saw God work that in my life. And she had some areas of forgiveness she needed to cry out to the Lord for. And God restored that relationship also. When we learn that God's word is true and God wants the best for us, it may not be what we think is the best at the moment. But as we learn, as we draw close to God, as we see God work, He touches and changes lives. God provides. He provides us what we need, not always what we want. Deb, I'm going to skip down to 2 Corinthians 12. Yep. So in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul is talking and he says, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Stop right there. A thorn in the flesh was given to me. And it had a purpose. To keep Paul from being exalted above measure, he calls it a messenger of Satan, but it was given to him. And Paul cried out to the Lord, said, Lord, remove this. I sought the Lord three times to remove it. And God's response was, verse 9, it says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, this was a gift. This thorn in the flesh, this difficulty I was facing, this torment, it came so that I wouldn't be exalted above measure by the revelation. And when I cried out to the Lord to remove it, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you because my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, this was given to me that I might be a more effective witness, channeling the power of God. That God could work through me better because I wouldn't get in the way, because my own pride wouldn't get in the way. I wouldn't be exalted above measure but because of the revelations. So then he goes on, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul says, all of these things, these difficulties that I face, God is using them. And God is getting glorified because of them. So I'm grateful for them. That's why Paul can say, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Because the things that we face help make us a more effective witness to God. And I'm going to drop down to the last scripture, Deb, Psalm 119. Last scripture, Psalm 119, verse 71 says, it is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I may know your statutes. Do we ever look at the difficulties we face and say, God, I may not understand what's going on, but this is what I know. I know you are good, and I know that if you've allowed this into my life, it is good for me. That I might come to know you better. You know, spending quality time in an Israeli jail with no one who speaks English, I got to spend some quality time with God. I got to know Him quite a bit better. I got to know that He was at work in my circumstances. Even when everything was messed up. It was funny. The guard would come up and say, you know, I had very, very broken Hebrew. They had very, very broken English. So in another couple of days, you'll get your ticket. You get your cartis. And you olek it. You get out of here. And a very, very few days turned into 72. From a local jail to one prison. And at that prison was when, after 34 days in jail, I was finally able to talk to the U.S. consulate. International incident, you're not, if you can't be given your consulate within 3 days. But it was 34 days before I could talk to the consulate. And the very next day, they transferred me to another prison. Oh, yes. Nothing was making sense. Nothing was going right. There was no hope except God. And God is all you need. No matter what we face, and we face difficulties, I don't discount what anyone goes through. Each and every one of us faces difficulties in life. We are called to have compassion and to mourn with those who mourn, to weep with those who weep. To comfort one another with the comfort that God has given us. So I can give you the comfort that no matter what you're facing, it is not a surprise to God. He loves you. He has you engraved in the palm of your hands. The palm of His hands. He cares about you. He sees the end from the beginning. I think of Lazarus. Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus, the one you love is sick. And Jesus waited 2 more days, and then He went to Bethany. And He gets to Bethany, and Lazarus has been dead 4 days. Little quick math, if Jesus hadn't waited 2 days, He would have got there, Lazarus would have been dead 2 days. And when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, after 2 days, people would be able to write it off. Oh, he wasn't really dead. He was in a coma. He was sick, whatever. We just thought he was dead. 4 days, Lord, by now he stinketh. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth, and it was a testimony to everyone around. No one could deny that he was dead. No one could deny that a miracle had happened. Jesus said early on, he told his disciples, this sickness is not unto death, but it's for the glory of God. The things we face God uses for His glory. We may not understand how it gets glorious, how it looks glorious, what that even looks like, but one day I will know even as also I am known. I have that promise in Scripture. Now I know in part, now I understand in part, but one day I will know even as also I am known. I know that God loves me. I know that God provides for me and for each of us. And having that faith, having that confidence that no matter what today brings, I know where I'm going. I tell people, heaven is not my goal, heaven is my destination. My goal is to encourage other people and guide other people there. I know where I'm going. My goal, my job is to encourage the brothers and sisters, the body of Christ, to come in unity, to grow together, to seek the Lord together. Because He has a plan and purpose for each and every one of us. If He didn't have a plan and purpose for you, why are you here? I don't know about you. I've been shot at, stabbed, electrocuted twice. Had a foot-long piece of wood stuck in my head. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house a couple of times. If God didn't have a plan for my life, He could have taken me out at any moment. But He has a plan and purpose for me and for you and for each and everyone listening. And because He's not done, we can trust in the fact that no matter what we're facing, God's going to bring good out of it. God causes all things to work together for good to them who love Him, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That doesn't mean that everything will be pleasant. That doesn't mean that we'll be able to see the good in it this side of heaven. But I know that God is faithful. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We know, Father, that You are faithful no matter what we face. We know, Lord, that You provide what we need. The Scripture says God will provide all your need according to His riches and glory. You know exactly what we need, Father. So, Lord, we thank You, Father, that we don't face this world alone. We're not isolated. We're not separated. We're in the palm of Your hands. And even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of difficulties, even in the midst of hardship and pain, Lord, even in the midst of seeming hopelessness and abandonment and loss, Lord, You are right there with us and You comfort us and You guide us. And You're at work even in those circumstances. So help us, Father, to be faithful witnesses. To show Your love and to show Your grace and to show that faith to the people around us, that others may turn their eyes to faith to seek You. We give You praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.